You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your faithfulness, your righteousness, your goodness, your presence here with us today. Thank you for your presence in South Bend, in Mishawaka, in this whole region. We thank you for your presence at the ends of the earth, far off places that we've never been to or may never go to, or places that we've only visited. We're thankful that you are at work in all of it, that your kingdom, your power, your authority is big enough to handle all of it, to hold everything. So as we come to your word together today, may these words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, if you are new for the last few weeks, I am Andrew. I've been gone for a couple weeks. I'm a pastor here. And it's really good to be back because Dale and Kathy and I have just returned this past week from a 10-day trip to India, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. I watched most of the live stream of this service a couple Sundays ago in the evening in a hotel in Delhi. So I was kind of here, which was cool. And the last week's service I had to catch up on once I got back, but it's such a gift as a pastor to be able to go away and on a trip and know that things are in loving and capable hands. So thank you to all those who stepped up. Pastor Jess and Adam did some great work continuing to teach through 1 John. Jess reminded us that we are all called to turn from our sin and embrace our identity as people of the light of Christ. And Adam told us of the high calling for us to not give up, but to keep leaning in. So I want to keep both of those messages in mind as we approach today's text, which absolutely drills down on the call to turn from sin as people of the light and to keep leaning in and not giving up. It's all connected. So let's look at those first two verses, 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Okay, so this phrase, this is the last hour, conjures up ideas of end times, right? Some of y'all know all about Nicolae Carpathia. I guess the people over here. The Antichrist character from the best-selling fiction series Left Behind. Since my early teens, I was encouraged to keep my eyes open for the Antichrist, a historical boogeyman-type figure who would embody evil in the most deceptive and complete way. Any new world leader that came on the scene was viewed with the eyes of suspicion. Could that be the Antichrist? John lets us know that this on-the-lookout posture has existed almost since the very beginning of the church. But John is quick to take all pomp and circumstance away from the idea of the Antichrist. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and that title may sound scary, and this whole idea of Antichrist is scary, but don't expect it to be unfamiliar. Don't expect it to come from an unfamiliar or lofty place. Many Antichrists have come. They came from us. They came from our people. These are people you know, not world leaders who you only hear rumors about. They went out from us, from our people. Their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They weren't really on board with the gospel. And this seems really harsh, right? And it is harsh, and it's harsh in a very specific way. It's harsh in the specific way to a specific people who have chosen to embrace, teach, and embody ways of thinking, believing, and living that are in direct contradiction to the way of Jesus Christ. We'll get more about how these antichrists contradict the way of Jesus, but first, some pastoral encouragement for the church. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Praise God. and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. John says to the church, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all this conversation about Christ and Antichrist, I must point out again that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? It is a title. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew term Messiah, which means anointed one. Anointed one. The anointing that Jesus received from the Father and from the Holy Spirit is so complete and so fully embodied as to become a name that he bears, Jesus the Christ. His anointing is special, unique, divine. It rests on him in a way that it just doesn't quite fit us exactly that same way. I don't know if you've noticed. If you've received an anointing in the Holy Spirit, it may not engender the title, you the anointed one, but it's still there. But Jesus fully embodies it, fully takes it on. And I want you to know that you have an anointing as well. And all of you know the truth. And that's what John wants his church to know. You have an anointing as well. You know the church. The same spirit that is on Jesus that makes him the Messiah, that spirit is active in you. And you know the truth. You know the truth about Jesus. You're people of the light. Don't give up. Keep leaning in. You are anointed with the same spirit that Jesus was anointed with. You have access to the truth. You know who Jesus is. You know where he comes from. No lies. So, on to verse 22. Well, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So what is an Antichrist, if it's not a boogeyman historical figure? It is, according to this passage, one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, who denies the Father and the Son. The Antichrists who are in the community in which these believers live are people who are preaching a different gospel. It's not people who have a different view on a debatable Christian practice or matter of theology. It's not people who are asking hard questions about what it means to follow Jesus. No. Those people are not Antichrist. The Antichrist people are contradicting the very heart of the Christian gospel, that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is Lord, and that he was sent from the Father and anointed by the Spirit to bring the work of God, the kingdom of God, for the people in this world that God loves more than we can imagine. So I want to make it clear that this passage isn't saying that anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus is the Antichrist. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying if you don't believe in Jesus, you're the Antichrist. That's not helpful. It's not helpful to go around the world, walk around, looking at people who don't know Jesus and saying, oh, you're the Antichrist, right? Is that helpful? No. This label is reserved for those who's teaching about Jesus in a way that contradicts that he is the Christ, that he is Lord, that he has authority. This is talking about true, in the real historical sense, heretics. They could be teaching that Jesus was only man and maybe not divine in any way, or that he was only divine and not really connected to humanity in a meaningful way, or that he somehow acts apart from the will of the Father, that the Son, Jesus, just did his own thing. We can hold space and compromise on a whole lot of areas in Christian theology. But John brings us back to the simple truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Father, period. And the core of the rest of this passage retells what's already been said. So verse 24. As for you, you see what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. This is the language of the Gospel of John. John chapter 15 talks again and again about remaining in Jesus, remaining in the Father, remaining in me. John chapter 3, very famously, promises eternal life to those who believe in Jesus. The teaching is unchanging. You know it, John says. You know this teaching. You know who Jesus is. You know what he offers you. You know his good news. Don't forget it. Verse 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So don't let these antichrists get in your head or lead you astray, okay? Remember the simple truth of the gospel. Remember your anointing in the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that Jesus was anointed with fully and completely, it rests on you, church. The Spirit that teaches you is not counterfeit. Trust in it. Trust in God. Verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. So we're back to the end times again. When you think about Jesus and his coming, or the end times, you might think about the Antichrist, right? Which is where this passage started. But we end not in fear of the Antichrist or of Antichrists. Antichrists are all around us. Alternate stories of how you might achieve salvation or draw closer to God, those stories will always be around. They will always be trying to tickle our ears. But this word of encouragement is to continue in him so that when Christ returns, forget about the Antichrist, when Christ returns, Antichrist doesn't matter. When Christ returns, we may be confident and unashamed before him. Confident and unashamed. Children of the light, not giving up, leaning in, believing that Jesus is who he says he is and not a bit less. Believing in the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's in this God, no less than this God, that we find eternal life. It's in this God, and no less than this God, that we find eternal life. I walk through the passage kind of fast today because I bring stories. You want to hear some stories from our trip to India? Dale, Kathy, and I got to meet a whole lot of men, women, and children with whom we share eternal life. And it was inspiring, heartwarming, sometimes heartbreaking. But to be in church these past two Sundays among believers who speak five different languages other than English in the room, primary languages. I was always preaching through two translators. Could have been easily three or four based on the population that was gathered. But these are people who have embraced the simple truth of the gospel, and often at great cost to them. They've received the good news of Jesus Christ as cool streams of living water in their lives. And you can see it. And I can't tell you how inspiring it is to be up close and personal with people of such great faith. But I'm going to take a few minutes to just try a little bit. So one of the first places that we went was a slum. And I'm going to speak very vaguely and generally in a lot of ways, and that's just because this is on a live stream, okay? So just so you know, if you want more details, show up next Sunday at 9:15, and we'll tell a lot more stories. But there was this little medical clinic in the slums. It's not in that picture, actually. But there's a nurse there who's giving medical care to these kids who are just the most vulnerable, living on the streets, not a place, literally not a place to go to the bathroom, teaching them basic hygiene, giving them micronutrients, and giving young mothers just medical care that they need. It's an incredible, inspiring place because I thought it was unique how big the smiles were of every kid in that space. And I saw kids throughout the rest of the week, and they had big smiles too, but something about those kids being seen, having people get out of a car, knowing that they were like just ready to like pray for them, be with them, show love to them in some way. Every high five, every smile was just bigger than you can imagine. From there, we went to a leper colony, which I had no idea what to expect. What is a leper colony? I hear about them. I've heard of Mother Teresa's ministry. Don't know what it's going to look like. This is a church in a leper colony because our brother Babu began his ministry as a pioneer missionary in this leper colony in 1994, before ASHA existed, before anything that we know about that we've partnered with existed. He was reaching out to the most vulnerable people in his community and just preaching the gospel and praying for people and showing love to them. We brought vegetables to them. We worshiped with them. It was beautiful. We went inside one home where this man who doesn't have any fingers, toes, most of his legs, a true leper. It was unique, though, because his daughter and son-in-law and two kids had recently moved back to the leper colony to be with him, just to care for their dying dad in this time. And putting other things, other opportunities on hold. This guy works for Comcast, but they're living in the leper colony in order to love and honor the generation that's gone before them. Beautiful, beautiful ministry. We'll tell you more about the overnight train at some point. Dale and Kathy and I got to experience a overnight train in a meat locker. Not literally, but it was about 50 degrees, it felt like. It was 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And, you know, if you've ever been on a train during those hours, right after being jet lagged, giddy up. It doesn't exactly help you regulate anything in your body. So we ended up in this incredible place. It was well worth it with this. These kids had a song ready for us when we got there. Welcome, 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 welcome to all of you. I got a video of it, so I've been listening to it. They really overpronounce their L's in welcome, so it's like just beautifully endearing. Welcome. Wonderful. Is there another one from there? Another picture? Yeah, this is just the folks that are running that ministry. And the girl on the left, her husband, 37 years old, has some sort of a nerve disease, can barely walk, can barely get out of bed. And just we got to go into his bedroom and pray for him. He walked outside. We prayed for him again. It's hard. It's hard to be among people who you know need good medical care and who just don't have access to it. But they were just such a wonderful, spirit-filled family, and it was wonderful to be around them. And then the last place we went, we spent a lot of time with these kids, with these particular people in Kolkata. It was a fantastic, wonderful, wonderful time. They were great hosts, wonderful people. Some of the people in this picture have been sponsored by folks from here for many, many years, and it's pretty awesome. And then I just want to tell a couple stories of some of the folks that graduated from their training. And one of them is pastoring in a very remote village in the jungles, and recently suffered a snake bite and had a deformed finger and asked for prayer. I'm like, yes, I'm praying for you, praying for this, praying for the situation, praying for your ministry and all of the vulnerabilities of wild animals and persecution that potentially come their way. And then the next guy, he used to dance. He used to dance for other gods. That was sort of how he was raised. And now he is ministering, pastoring, dancing for Jesus in a totally different world. And just inspiring stories. And then you go to take a selfie. I think there were four kids in this picture when I first pulled my phone out, and it just popululated with a million. It was all of a sudden everybody was there. It was pretty awesome. So those are just joyful people. And again, some of these folks are people that you're sponsoring, you're helping. And you know, whether you get a chance or not to actually go on this trip, which I pray that many of you do, think it is a reminder of what I just taught about today, that Jesus is at the center of it all and that he unites everything. The simple message of Jesus, the simple message of his life, death, and resurrection, of who he is and who he says he is. Nothing spectacular, nothing fancy, no epic. I mean, the worship services there felt like they were being planned in the moment. Even though there was something written down, it was like, what do we do next? Conferring between every little thing, which I was like, maybe we should start doing that at Riverside, just conferring after every song. What do we want to do next? But it's not about polish. The Spirit moved, right? The Spirit moved among them. They played drums loudly. They sang loudly. They sang in English. They sang in all these different languages that I could name, but I'm not going to. They made a joyful noise unto the Lord, and I'm sure they're doing it, I would say right now, but it's nighttime there. In 10 and a half hours, they will be making a joyful noise, just like we will be right here in this space. And it is a joy to be part of this ministry, and a joy to be such a meaningful part of it. That's not just like a giant organization that we kind of like have a little say in, but like these folks know us and love us and want to be known by us. And that's a gift. That's a gift, you know, of Keith, you and Shelley, and your leadership and just pursuing this right from the beginning of Riverside. It's a gift to all of us, and I pray that it continues to be a gift to us as we share stories and just as their mission motivates us and reminds us of who we are and what it means to follow Jesus in this world. So, my friends, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that knows no geographical restrictions. Thank you for making us one body. I think of sharing this meal with my brothers and sisters a week ago, this very same meal that we're about to share together here. Think about how it unites us. Think about how at the table of the Lord, all are welcome, all are invited, all who confess Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is who he says he is, are all invited to the table. That invitation is true here today. For everyone in this room, whether you've been to Riverside before or not, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you're invited to come to this meal. You're invited to come receive the life-giving grace that is available to you at this meal. You're invited to be reminded of the forgiveness that you have received in Christ at this table. You're invited to be reminded that you are united to a body of believers, a kingdom of God that stretches far beyond our eyes can see or our ears can hear. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.